Please turn with me now in your Bible to 2 Corinthians, Paul's second letter to the church in Corinth, chapter 6, verses 1 to 13. We are working our way together through 2 Corinthians. This morning I want to encourage you to open wide your heart. Again, our text this morning is from Paul's second letter to the church in Corinth, chapter 6. Beginning with verse 1, let's hear God's word together. Working together with him, then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in a favorable time I listened to you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We put no obstacle in anyone's way so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way. By great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger. By purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love. By truthful speech and the power of God. With the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left. Through honor and dishonor. Through slander and praise. We are treated as impostors and yet are true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing yet possessing everything. We have spoken freely to you, Corinthians. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted in your own affections. In return, I speak as to children. Widen your hearts also. Thus far, the reading of God's word. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we do. We appeal to you this morning. We know that we can be careless, lackluster in our prayer life. We can be careless and simply routine in the way we go about our business. It's easy, Lord, to dart off a prayer and then go about what we consider our real work of the day, and yet we need you so profoundly. And we don't simply want to mouth words, but Lord, we want to know you. We want to be brought into your presence. We want your word to come to us with life and with power. We want to experience the reality of eternity. We want to see the kingdom of God taking shape in our lives now, today. We don't want to just get by. Lord, we want to see the reality of your presence, of your spirit working in our lives. We want to experience that encouragement, that blessing, that comfort. We want to see you working in other people's lives. We want to see a conversion. We want to see change. We want to see improved attitudes and perspective. Lord, we long to see you at work. We are weary of trying to do things ourselves in our own strength, and we long to see you work. And so, Lord, we sincerely ask this morning that as we come to your word, as we do what we do every week, as we open up the pages of your scripture, as we simply reflect on what you have revealed, Lord, may it do something. Would it take root within us? Would it drive out the unbelief and the fears and the anxieties? Would it bring comfort? Would it give courage to us? Lord, make us different. Increase our experience of your grace. Help us, Lord, to take hold of the blessings that you have for us. Help us, Lord, to be strengthened. Prepare us for the challenges that we face. Lord, we ask that you would use your word to bring glory to yourself, to really accomplish something supernatural in our lives and our congregation this morning. Lord, we pray that something would begin here in your word that would overflow throughout the week. In our families, in our homes, in our communities, and at work, Lord. We plead for that. We pray for your grace and blessing. And we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you know what it means to do something in vain? Let's say a friend gets an email from a Nigerian prince. And inviting your friend to take all of her money out of the bank and fly to Nigeria and marry him in a royal wedding. And your friend is convinced this email is for real. She's so excited. She's just sure she's going to fly to Africa. She's going to fall in love. She'll meet the man of her dreams. She'll have a royal wedding and become an African princess. In her mind, this is going to be a fairy tale wedding, and all her dreams are about to come true. You do everything you can to persuade her that this is a hoax. You go online and you show her where hundreds, literally hundreds of thousands of people have received the exact same email or one just like it. You take her to different websites that warn about that specific scam and that show give accounts of different people who have fallen for this and who've lost thousands of dollars in this exact scam. You even try to reason with her. If there is a Nigerian prince out there, he probably wouldn't propose to a complete stranger. And if he was going to do it, he probably wouldn't do it over email. You know, you try to talk sense into her. You make a list of all the reasons why this just doesn't add up. And yet all that you try to do and all that you say is in vain. Because you learn shortly thereafter that she takes all her money out of her bank and she's on an airplane to Africa. Well, this morning we are considering together the grace of God. And when we talk about grace, we mean God's blessing and God's offer to bless you far better and well beyond what you actually deserve. That's what grace is God's blessing and his offer to bless you way better and far beyond what we actually deserve. It includes the free gift of salvation, the free gift of forgiveness, the gift of God's Spirit, God's promise to be with you, the promise of his presence to encourage you and enlighten you and empower you, his guidance, his leadership, his strength, his wisdom. When we talk about God's grace, it's his offer to bless you far beyond what we could ever ask or ever deserve. And so this morning, as we consider God's grace together, I want to encourage you, don't be like that friend who hears all the reasons and still gets on that plane to Africa. But instead, I want to encourage you this morning, don't receive the grace of God in vain. Look with me at our text this morning. Beginning in verse 1, Paul says, working together with him. Working together with him. Who is him? Who is Paul working together with? He's talking about the Lord. Okay? We work together with the Lord. If you remember where we left off last time, toward the end of chapter 5, in verse 20, Paul says that we are ambassadors for Christ. That is, you are a spokesman for Jesus Christ. As a believer, when you go out into the world and you try to tell people about God's grace, and you try to tell them how God has poured out his blessing on you, and how God offers blessing far beyond what people deserve, you're acting as an ambassador for Jesus Christ. You're acting as a spokesman for Christ. And Paul says, chapter 5, verse 20, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. That means that when you are out and you're trying to live for Jesus Christ and you're trying to witness for Christ, you're trying to tell people the good news of Jesus Christ, it's not just you talking, but it is God working through you. God works through us to reach others. That's what Paul means when he says we're ambassadors for Christ, we're spokesmen for Christ. God works through us to reach others. We work together with the Lord. Now, if we were just talking about salvation, that's a different matter. Okay? When it comes to salvation, God does all the work. God is the one who came into this world. God is the one who took on flesh. God is the one who always kept the law. He's the one who fulfills the Ten Commandments. He's the one who never sinned. He's the one who always did what was pleasing to the Father. He's the one who went to the cross on our behalf. When it comes to salvation, Jesus does all the work. But once you accept that, once you embrace that, once you receive that, once you believe and once you trust in what Christ has done on the cross, then God gives you his Spirit, and now you begin to work with him. When it comes to salvation, God does all the work. But when it comes to ministry, when it comes to the Christian life, when it comes to serving God, when it comes to going out there and trying to minister to others and tell them about God's grace, we work together with the Lord. And that's what Paul is talking about here in verse 1. He says, working together with him, working together with the Lord, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. In other words, don't be like that friend who hears all the reasons and all the warnings, but doesn't listen. You're hearing about God's grace this morning. Maybe you've heard about God's grace many times, but don't let it just go in one ear and out the other. Sometimes people think we're too sinful for God's grace. Oh, you just don't know me. You don't know what I've done. You don't know what I've struggled with. Sometimes we think we're too bad for God's grace. That's the whole point of grace, is that it's what we don't deserve. You can't be too bad for God's grace. On the other hand, sometimes people think they're too good for God's grace. I don't need God's grace. I don't need grace. I'm a good person. I don't need grace. Sometimes people think they're too bad for God's grace. Sometimes people think we're too good for God's grace. Paul says, don't hear the message of God's grace in vain. However, in this particular passage, he is actually talking to believers. Remember, he's writing to the Christian church, so these are presumably people who believe in the grace of God. They've received the message of salvation. They're trusting in the work that Jesus Christ has done. Okay? Jesus does all the work of salvation for us. That's grace. These are Christians. They are people who have believed in the grace of God. And yet, now there are some people, we call them Judaizers, they were Jewish Christians, who were to acknowledge the death of Christ, but were putting the focus on your own responsibilities, keeping the dietary law, becoming circumcised, being more Jewish, and keeping the traditions of the elders, and leading the people away from grace. And Paul is warning them, don't think that you can move on beyond grace. Don't think that, oh, grace is just for little bitty kids and new Christians, and I need to move beyond that by now going on to moving on to dietary restrictions and old traditions. And Paul says that would be receiving God's grace in vain. Sometimes, even as Christians, we begin to feel guilty, or we begin to feel proud, prideful. Sometimes as Christians, you begin to grow, and so some of your more obvious outward sins begin to be dealt with, and then you begin to forget it's all about grace, and we begin to move away from grace. Even though you've received and accepted God's grace, you kind of drift away from it. You begin to take it for granted, and you begin to live as if your walk with God depends on your obedience. Paul says, now, wherever you are in your life, whatever you've been through, whatever you've struggled with, wherever you are in your spiritual walk, now is the time to receive God's message of grace. Okay? Whatever it is you're going to be facing this week, good or bad, you need God's grace now. Paul is quoting from a passage in the book of Isaiah, which we actually read from this morning in our call to worship. And Isaiah was looking forward to a day of salvation, a time when God would come and help his people. And God says, in a favorable time I listened to you, and in a day of salvation I've helped you. And Paul says that Isaiah was looking forward to now, that now is the day of salvation. He says, now is the favorable time. Now is the time to receive God's message of grace. You see, here's the problem. Is that as God's grace was going forth, it was reaching to all kinds of people. People who weren't even Jewish. People whose lives were wrecked. All kinds of people were discovering forgiveness and new life and hope. And while that appealed to a lot of people, for some it was messy. Those people, we don't know how comfortable we are with those people. And so there was kind of a backlash. Well, okay, those people can be with us, but they got to be circumcised, and they got to respect the traditions of the elders, and they got to become like my parents. And Paul says, essentially, they were taking the people backwards. They were trying to take them back into the old ways, back into Judaism. And Paul says, don't you see, even the Old Testament point forward to now. Now is the time of salvation. Now is the day of grace. Now is when you need grace more than ever. Now is the time to receive God's message of grace. Now is the time to trust in Jesus Christ. Whatever you're facing, whatever is perplexing you, wherever you are in your relationships, this is the time for trusting in Jesus. Paul goes on to say, we put no obstacle in anyone's way so that no fault may be found with our ministry. There were apparently people who were finding a lot of fault with Paul's ministry, and so that's why for the last few weeks Paul's been explaining himself and defending himself, and primarily Paul's been explaining that, listen, if you find fault with us, it's because I'm trying to please the Lord. Paul's main goal was not to make a good impression and please people. He was trying to please the Lord, and so that's his primary defense we've been looking at. But now Paul qualifies that, and he says, look, yes, I'm trying to please the Lord, not everybody else, but at the same time, I don't want to do anything that's going to cause someone to stumble. I don't want to do anything that would keep someone from believing in God's grace. He says, we put no obstacle in anyone's way so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way. In other words, Paul says that, listen, even though my goal is to please the Lord, not everybody else, I want to live in a way that shows people that I mean what I say, that I really do believe it. I want to live in a way that shows that God's grace is real. Now, there were these religious show-offs that we've been talking about, and their way of commending themselves was by boasting and bragging and name-dropping and carrying around letters of recommendation. Paul says that's not the way we commend ourselves. That's not the way we win your confidence. It's not by bragging and boasting. He says we win your confidence by the way we live our lives and by the way we handle adversity. He says, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way by great endurance. Keep in mind, as we're working through 2 Corinthians, we're looking at the Christian life and ministry. How do you live the Christian life? How do you minister to other people? The way you win people's confidence is not by boasting and bragging. Sometimes people will fall for that, but that's not the way we want to approach things. The way you win people's confidence, the way you show the message of God's grace is for real, is by the way you handle trouble. Anybody can be happy when things are going well, when everybody's slapping you on the back and praising you. Anyone can smile during those times, but the real test of your faith is how you act when things are falling apart, when people are stabbing you in the back. When you're going through times of disappointment and illness or loss, that's when people can see the grace of God is real to you. Paul says, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way by great endurance in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger. These other teachers went to great lengths to try to make everything look easy and slick, to make a good impression, to give the idea that they're always successful at every moment of life. Paul's life wasn't like that at all. But Paul says that shows that we're real. If Paul goes through afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, if he goes through all that and he still talks about God's grace, he must really believe it. I mean, it's one thing to talk about how good God is when everything's going well and the sun is shining, but to be able to talk about God's grace when he's being beaten, Paul must really believe it. There must be something to this message of grace. You commend yourselves to others by how you handle adversity. That's what people are going to notice. How you handle problems, how you handle setbacks, even in your discouragement, that you're hanging on to God's grace. I mean, in a sense, you commend yourselves all the time by the way you live your life. Paul goes on to say, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love, by truthful speech and the power of God. In other words, Paul's saying, this is my letter of recommendation. It's the way we live our lives. It's our character. It's our honesty. It's our purity. It's our faithfulness. The way you live your life day in and day out is what should commend you to people and make them think, well, maybe there is something to this grace that you believe in. But you have to fight to win people to the Lord. Verse 7, Paul says, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left. Some scholars suggest that he may be referring to a sword and a shield, but if so, he means that, you know, metaphorically or spiritually. He's saying life's a struggle. One reason these other speakers were so popular is because they said the kind of things people want to hear. They made the Christian life seem so easy and successful. And Paul says, man, it's hard. It's work. You have to fight to win people to the Lord. He says, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, through honor and dishonor, through slander and praise, we're treated as imposters and yet are true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing everything. Paul says life isn't fair. It's hard. He says, we're always being treated, I should say, mistreated. That's what he's saying. It isn't fair. People don't always appreciate what I represent. They don't always represent what I'm trying to say. That's what Paul is saying. He says, it's hard. And you got to fight. It's a fight to believe in the grace of God. When everything seems to be going wrong, when it doesn't seem like God is treating you well at all, you got to fight to believe in the grace of God. Sometimes you get up in the morning and it's a fight to believe, you know what? God loves me and he gave his son for me. You got to fight to believe in God's grace. You got to fight to live by faith. You got to make up your mind that by the grace of God, I'm going to keep living it by grace and I'm going to trust in God's grace and I'm going to talk about God's grace. You got to fight to do that. It's not always the easy way. It's not always the popular way. And it's a fight. It is a fight to live by grace and it's a fight to tell others about God's grace. Paul says it's not easy. He talks about slander. And being treated as a phony or an imposter, as sorrowful and poor, and being treated like he has nothing. He's treated like a failure. And yet he's like, I got weapons on my left hand, on my right. I'm battling, Paul says. That's why my life is so messy, because I'm fighting for you. He says to the Corinthians, I'm fighting to bring to you the message of grace. It's hard. It's hard. You have to fight to win people to the Lord. So I would encourage you again this morning, don't receive the message of God's grace in vain. But open wide your heart to the Lord and to his people. Paul says in verse 11, we have spoken freely to you, Corinthians. Our heart is wide open. In other words, Paul says, I'm not holding anything back. These other guys, these speakers who were so impressive, every word was calculated. They would rehearse their speeches over and over to create just the desired effect. One minute you'd be laughing, and the next minute you'd be crying, and by the end you'd be so satisfied. Paul said, I'm not reading a script. Paul says, I'm being transparent. I'm being open. I'm telling you what it's like. Paul does not like talking about himself because he doesn't want to boast, but he's concerned for them. So he says, look, this is what my life is like. I'm always beaten up. I'm chased out of town. It's hard, and sometimes it stinks. Paul says, I'm being open. I'm opening up my heart. I'm being real. I'm being transparent. He says, you're not restricted by us. Sometimes we fear Christianity because we fear it'll be too restrictive. What are you going to give up? What are you going to lose? You know, if the grace of God is going forth to all these people who weren't even Jewish, they weren't even circumcised, they didn't even keep the traditions of the elders, well, we're going to lose some of our prestige, and we're going to lose some of our reputation. You know, there's always this danger that we're going to, or fear that we're going to lose something. Sometimes people fear that if I receive the grace of God, it's going to put me in a box. People think Christianity is all about all these things I have to do and all these things I can't do. Paul says, I'm not restricting you. He says, I'm talking to you about grace. I'm talking about you about something free. I'm talking about God's blessing way beyond what you deserve. Don't let your fears keep you from accepting God's grace. Paul says, you're not restricted by us. We're not putting you in a box. We're not trying to bind you. He says, you are restricted in your own affections. He says, it's you're the one who's holding back. You're the one who's afraid of getting hurt. You're the one who is still trying to make up your mind whether you want to follow the Lord or not. He says, you're the one who's holding back. Paul says, I'm wide open. I'm being honest to you. I'm offering you the grace of God. I'm reminding you about God's free gift of his grace and love. And he says, but you're the one who's holding back. Maybe you've been burned. You know, you had a bad church experience. It happens. I get that. Sometimes you're afraid of commitment. You're afraid of getting hurt. You're afraid of putting yourself out there because if you believe in something and it turns out not to be true, you feel like you're foolish. You feel like you look foolish. And so we're afraid. The hardest thing in life is trusting in Jesus Christ. It's easy to say, well, things will work out. It's easy to worry. But the hardest thing in life is to trust in Jesus Christ, to go through all the garbage that we go through in life and the hard times and still believe that God loves you so much that he gave his own son for you. That's hard. In fact, it's totally contrary to the old nature, and you cannot do it without God's grace. Don't let your fear keep you from receiving God's grace. Don't let the shortcomings of other Christians keep you from receiving God's grace. Sometimes we think, well, those Christians are so hypocritical. He's such a Pharisee. They're such phonies. I don't want to be self-righteous. I don't want to be like them. Okay, that was some of the accusations against Paul, is that people were finding fault with Paul. And so that was in part one of their excuses for not embracing God's grace. Paul's been explaining himself. He's been defending himself. Most of the accusations against Paul were false. But regardless, even if they were true, should that keep you from accepting the grace of God? I mean, Paul was divinely inspired in his message, in his preaching, but it doesn't mean he was without sin. I'm sure if you lived with Paul, you would see that he was like us. He was still sinful. He needed Jesus. Because of that, are you not going to receive the grace of God? I mean, so you've known someone who's a snobbish Christian. Well, you know what that person needs? Grace. The only thing that will save a snob is an experience of God's grace. You know someone who's a phony or a hypocrite. What that person needs is to be changed by God's grace. Okay, they need grace. So do you. So do we. Don't let other people's faults keep you from receiving the grace you need today. And don't do anything that might keep others from receiving God's grace. Paul concludes by saying, in return, and I speak as to children, widen your hearts also. Paul says, my heart is open wide to you. And he's speaking not only for himself, but Silvanus and Timothy. Our hearts are wide open. So he says, open up your heart. Open up your heart to the Lord. He can be trusted. He gave his own son for you. You can trust him. Open up your heart and receive the free gift of grace that God offers you today. But he also says, open up your heart to God's people. We aren't like Jesus. Jesus will never, ever fail you under any circumstances. Other people aren't like you. And yet, I mean, aren't like Jesus, but Paul says, open up your heart to us. Even though Paul isn't the Lord, he says, don't be restricted in your feelings towards God's people. Open up your heart to God's people. Show them some grace. And don't do anything that might keep someone else from receiving God's grace. Maybe you're turned off because you see this person's kind of hypocritical or this person's kind of phony. Don't you do the same thing. Don't you be obnoxious or self-righteous or phony or hypocritical or do anything that might cause someone else to be turned off to God's grace. Think of all the things Paul did. All the things that he endured. I mean, he lists them. The beatings, the afflictions, the hardships, the calamities, the imprisonments, the riots, the labors, the sleepless nights, the hunger. All the things that Paul endured to bring to the Corinthians this message of grace. And not just once, because he's spent months in Corinth. But this is after that. They've already come to know the Lord. He's still doing it. He's still writing to them. All the work that Paul did, all the things he endured, because he wanted them to know and experience God's grace. Think about all the things that maybe your parents have done for your sake that you might know and experience God's grace. Think about all the prayers and concerns of your grandparents, perhaps, or Christian school teachers. Or think about all the things that were done before I was even born to establish this church. All the work that was done to establish this church so that you could hear the message of God's grace again this morning. Think of all the things that people have done so that you could hear about God's grace. More than that, think of all the things that Jesus did. All the things Jesus suffered. All the lengths that he went to, all the suffering that he endured, that he might offer you his grace. Now, can't we at least suffer a little bit, if that's what it takes, to extend to others the message of God's grace? Don't receive God's grace in vain, as if it's nothing. The grace of God is life-changing. The grace of God is empowering. The grace of God changes your perspective. The grace of God brings with it the presence of God's Spirit to renew you and pick you up. This isn't just a message for non-Christians who need to discover salvation. This is a message for everybody. We always need the grace of God. Paul says, don't receive God's grace in vain, but open wide your heart. Open wide your heart to the Lord and to his people. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we confess that often we're holding back. Faith is hard. Trusting you is hard. It's so easy to trust in ourselves or trust in other things or sometimes even people, but trusting you is so hard. It's not natural, Lord. It's easy for us to shrink back in fear and self-protection and trying to have one foot in the kingdom and one foot in the world, just in case. Help us, Lord. Open our hearts to you. Break them open. Swing them open, Lord. Pour out your grace on us. And make us more gracious. Help us to be more gracious toward one another. Help us, Lord, to show more grace. Help us where we're tended to be bitter or resentful. Paul could have easily been resentful of all the accusations after all the things he endured, and yet grace had such a grasp on him, had a grip on him, that he just wanted what was best for the church in Corinth. Help us, Lord, to be so gripped by grace that we become more gracious, that we want what's best. Lord, open wide our hearts, we pray, to you and to one another. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.